Day Zero update for July 8th, 2018. I'm Fleetwood and Alpha.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Birkins.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
And after moving and a heat wave and a whole bunch of other stuff, we're back.
Yep.
I almost forgot how to do this thing, but hey, some things just don't die. So
it's like riding a bike.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. So quick note off the top. Next week, we have a guest. We're going to be talking retro and modern hybrids with Castlevania Ryan from Castlevania Games. He's going to be joining us. And if you haven't checked out CastlevaniaGames.com, I would recommend you do so. And say goodbye to your wallet. I just saw that Retrobit is releasing Holy Diver. So, you know how that's going to go. I'm going to have to buy that. Lots of good stuff coming there. And I expect it's going to be a lot of fun next week when we have him on and see what he has to say about this very interesting market that we're in right now. Because it's a very interesting, it's an interesting point in time right now where we've got basically three different generations. I don't mean console generations, I mean actual people generations who are gaming.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be fun to talk about. But before we get to that, we have this week, and we have been playing some stuff between melting, I suppose. We've also been gaming. I've been still going through the Shining Force series. I talked a little bit about it on Let's Weekend. I'm going through Shining Force 2 right now. Boy, that game is still good, but also infuriating. It's a little less unfair than the original one was, where, the enemies seem to actually, manage to time their shots so that you couldn't get through it. I had some video footage of the last boss of that game, and apparently if one thing had gone wrong, I would not have beaten it.
That's usually how it is.
Yeah, it was basically down to I had three characters left, and I had a segment of events where if one thing went wrong, I died. But I managed to get through it, so hey. Then stuff happened. So, Shining Force 2 is a much, much improved game over the original. It's like visually it looks a lot better. It sounds better. I think the Camelot's composing was definitely up to their game for the second one. So, I'm going to go through that. And then I'm going to decide whether I'm going to go through Shining Force CD or if I'm going to go straight to 3. So,
now, you know what Shining Force CD is, right?
Yeah, it's Shining Force Gaiden.
It's a collection of the Game Gear games.
Yeah, with a bonus one in there thrown in as well.
Yeah. They're very simplified, but all of the battle gameplay is there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I might just jump straight to 3 then, because that's one that I genuinely have never played, so I want to see what kind of improvements that series made.
Yeah.
So, so that's kind of been it for me. How about you, Pat?
I was playing Horizon Chase Turbo until the R2 trigger on my DualShock 4 decided to buckle. So that was a thing that happened, but I got through a good swath of the game before that happened, so I was pretty pretty happy with my progress, if nothing else. After that, I've kind of just been wandering aimlessly through my Xbox One catalog and my Switch, and I did happen upon the Octopath Traveler demo, which just, with that game right around the corner, the timing was perfect. So
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, reviews are already kind of starting to trickle out.
It got straight nines from Famitsu, I noticed.
From Famitsu, yeah. GameSpot gave it an 8 out of 10. Of course, that is GameSpot, so take it with a grain of salt. But basically, everyone is saying it's great. The writing's good, the voice acting's good, the gameplay's great, old school turn-based. The thing is, there's still a question on how much each of these stories actually intersect with each other. course, when I read that review, it was still like they were only on chapter 3. So yeah. It's possible.
You think there could be some sort of live alive shit going on?
Probably.
Yeah.
But as for me, I'm still playing Kingdom Hearts. I'm still trying to wrap up Birth by Sleep. I'm now at the final episode section, and I'm fighting Xehanort again, the form that he took when I was playing Terra's story arc, and it is hard as balls. sometimes unfairly so, because he has these two main combos that, unless you are able to block them at the start, you're pretty much screwed. And it's especially bad because it's sort of like you're watching your own death being stretched out as it slowly whittles down your life bar. And but other than that, I mean, it's still a great game. Still a lot of fun. Probably after I finish that, I mean, I'll probably play some of the other games on there, but I'm probably going to go back to GameStop at some point and get Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8. That's the one that has, I think, has Dream Drop Distance and some other stuff on there. And it also has a brand new game that they made specifically, not like a full game, but like a smaller sort of DLC size game that's meant to be a bridge to Kingdom Hearts 3.
Right.
That's basically like a like an epilogue to Birth by Sleep. But yeah, so pretty much that's what I've been kind of playing. So once Octopath comes out on Friday, that's probably going to take up all of my gaming
yeah.
for the foreseeable future. So Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so I've been playing a good bit of Rainbow Skies, the new game from the team that made Rainbow Moon. Mm-hmm. I'm working towards a review for that. Put about 10 hours into it now. And it's a good upgrade from the original game. It definitely has the same sort of battle system of it being like a strategy RPG.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nice things they do is if when you kill enemies, sometimes they'll drop a like loot sack with some items in it. And if you do not have room for like the potions, you can sell them right on the spot. Hmm. Sort of get some gold in return. And I would kind of wish that was the case all across the board. As far as like finding those sort of loot sacks outside of on like the overworld. Because you find them, and if you can't take them, you don't have any options. You either just leave it, come back later, or you know, figure out if the other thing you can do is sort of just use them. So if you notice you have, you know, you're missing some health and you need to fill up, you can just use it instead of wasting it.
Right.
Let's see, what they've gotten rid of most of the monsters from the overworld, so there's not just tons of monsters around that you have to kind of fight to level up. And so the ones that are there are more just obstacles, like you need to beat this one to open up this side path, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Which is nice, and if you want to grind, they're just, you'll see little pop-ups on the bottom left corners, like, hey, here's like 3 level 1 of this monster, you know, 2 level 2s and a level 4 or something like that, and you're like, okay, I'll take that on.
Hmm.
Makes like the grinding stuff less obtrusive.
Mm-hmm.
Which is real nice. They let you kind of level up a bunch of things now.
Mm-hmm.
All your equipment levels up. Your weapons level up. Your character levels up. Your spells level up. That's just by using the spells, which is useful when you find ones you like. Keep using them, because to unlock others for your character, they'll be like, oh, you have to get this other spell up to like level 10. That sort of stuff. But some of the spells are a little bit tedious.
Mm-hmm.
The one I got for one of my characters is just X-ray, which shows you information about the character, which I would like it to just be a normal thing you could do, not be like a spell you have to do. But as far as like trying to level that up, it's kind of tedious to have to, you know, use it on every enemy. It doesn't use any mana or anything like that. So it's just kind of like, okay, I click on this one. Okay, that one's done. I go over to this other one. And if it's, you have a certain amount of range on that, so if you don't get them all, then you try it later, it's like, okay, that one I already did, because it didn't give me any XP for it.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff, and it's a little bit tedious in that part. But one of the cool things, they have an item that's called a skill extender, which you can use on, when you find it, you can use it on one of your spells. That will extend the range you can use for that stuff. Hmm. So there are certain ones that's like, this spell isn't that useful because it hits like these three certain spots, and there's one that there has to be an enemy in there for you to even use it. And so you can extend that range. And it's more that how your character can sort of move around.
Yeah.
So that's how it determines the range. But there's some spells that's kind of like, this is okay, but I can't really use it, to, okay, now I can use this all the time. Another nice thing they have is sometimes one of the drops you'll get are these like upgrade coins, which as you level up, it adds to this one part of the menu that is just, hey, here's an attribute you can upgrade. You can put a certain amount of coins. There's blue, yellow, and red. And so like HP is one of those you can definitely upgrade. So my characters have a ridiculous amount now, like 600, 800 HP, which for right now is good because it means I have to visit the doctor character less often, which is real nice. I just got spells that actually let me do attacks to enemies, and then it refills my mana. So that is a nice thing to have more self-sufficient characters who use up a lot of spells, but also don't, like, I don't necessarily have the ability to get to those doctors all the time to refill them. So they kind of get their abilities limited when I can't use any more spells. But yeah, one of the characters you have is an archer, but he can only shoot directly in front of him, like the space right in front of him, which
that's very useful.
Yeah, so he's a spell guy because of that. So there's a lot of weird stuff like that. Like the story's pretty good, but it's overly verbose. So I read for a bit, and then I get tired, and I just skip through a bunch of it, because it just keeps going on and on and on and on. It's like, yeah, you guys fell out of the sky while this person was casting a binding spell. Now all three of you are stuck together. We get it. And it keeps going on. Because they're like, wait, what's going on? What? And they're just explaining it in a way that is like, I already get it. Let's just go. Just show me the colored words for where you want to go or what you want me to do. That sort of thing. They let you skip through the text. There's like a specific option. I think you push square and it'll skip. But also like warns you like you're going to miss out on this dialogue because I don't think they have any like archive for that stuff. So if you like want to go reread something, but even the tutorials are overly verbose because they have the characters explaining it to you. And I got like some of the most recent tutorials I got is like stuff I figured out long ago.
Yeah.
They kind of joke about it. It's like, oh, if you didn't know, this is how this thing works. Like, yeah, I figured it out like 8 hours ago. But, you know, stop it. Yeah, it's, and this is actually a game I've been kind of wanting for a while, like an RPG that is kind of mindless, not in a negative way, but like a way where I can just put on a podcast and I don't have to necessarily focus too much on the game itself. Kind of the same way that Diablo is. We're just like, yeah, I'm going to run around and just hit these dudes and then pick up the loot, and then I'll see if that loot's better or not. But it's not anything that requires your full attention. So you can have like a podcast on or a video on or whatever going in the background. And this does that really well. And it kind of just has a lot of shit in it. I just got to the point where I am getting eggs from some of the monsters I'm killing, which lets me add a monster to my party. And that's pretty neat. I have not used it yet because I just figured out how to add them to the grid, which that's also a thing you have to buy. There are like different grid options for how your characters are laid out. And I just got one that's, or I'm trying to get one that is specifically for monsters, adding to your party. Yeah, there's just a lot of shit. They also give you, like, XP for fully exploring areas. Like, some little, like, MMO stuff as well in there. And it's a pretty cool game. It's really well done. They definitely have some issues they need to sort out with updates. Like, they have specifics, like, spell animations that go on. And it tells you, like, hold down right trigger to skip it, and it doesn't work half the time. And so there are some that are really elaborate. Okay. This fungus farmer that just sprays, like, poison all over the place, and then roots pop out, and it's like, you only got one guy, don't need to fucking do this same animation like it's supposed to be able to hit three people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it 500 times. I don't want to fight you anymore. It's like, just let me skip it or turn them off.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that. It's like, maybe show it to me, like, two or three times, then I'm done. I don't need it. But when it works, you know, you just get the damage. It's like, all right, that's, I know I fucked up. You're going to hit me. Just tell me how much. I don't need to see this overly elaborate animation for the 100th time. And there's lots of little small stuff that I think they need to work on, but otherwise it's pretty solid. And it's on sale for 10% off. I think it's $27 on sale. For PS4, PS3, and Vita, you get cross-buy, cross-save, all that stuff.
Cool.
It even has, like, an upload thing for the site, rainbowskies.com, to, like, compare, like, your stats or whatever, your characters, which I did that, and then I looked at the site, it's like, it's not ready yet. It's like, well, okay, why do you have this in the game?
Yeah.
I'm uploading data to some random server somewhere. Yeah, so another game I've been playing is Yoku's Island Express, which you might see that name and like, oh, it's the Yoshi's Island clone.
Mm.
No, it's a Metroid-style game where the mechanics are all pinball.
Mm.
You are controlling a dung beetle who's pushing a ball around, and you've come to this island to be the new postmaster. You're delivering mail. And after about an hour, I finally get to the point where I can actually deliver mail. And so you are sort of pushing this ball around, and then you come to points where there are bumpers, and there are a bunch of different, like, pinball mechanics around in these different areas. And that's how you get around, and it's all just really fun and really well designed. And they got the physics nice and tight, so... You know, you have to. There are differences between, you know, hitting the flippers, hitting the ball in the flippers, like right as soon as it gets there, versus, you know, waiting for it to hit the very edge. Because to hit different paths, like, oh, there's this path that's a little bit harder to get to because you have to wait till it gets right on the edge to hit this other path. And so, like, your character collects these fruit that's kind of like a currency. And so you can, there are points where you have to unlock certain bumpers for that. And you use the left and right triggers for those, or orange and blue ones, sort of portal style. One, I think blue is left trigger and orange is right trigger. And it's just really neat way of meshing these two different styles of games that you would never expect to work so well. And yeah, I'm at this point where I'm trying to get to this, Well, I did get to the village that I needed to officially become the new postmaster person. So I can actually deliver mail, which there are mailboxes I've found around the island. I go up to them, I hit the button, put the mail in, and it pops out some currency for it. And along the way, I've gotten a bunch of like, oh, you can't do this thing yet because you need to go and find, you know, this thing. Like, I had to go get a guy's toolbox so he could fix this bridge so I could get to this other part of the island. Like, they're doing all the Metroid stuff of putting up these obstacles that you can see, and I still see a bunch of other stuff. I think I'm going to get a speed upgrade at a certain point because there are things I can't get to. Yeah. Without that, there's water I can't get under the surface. There's stuff below there I see, things like that. Yeah, it's really well done. I'm looking forward to putting some more time into it. Yeah, and it has a really nice art style as well. Yeah, it's something people should be checking out. It's $20 I think it's on sale on Xbox One right now for $15.
Okay.
I had some extra credit from the reward stuff. And I decided between either that or Minute. I got Yoko's Island Express. So far, that's been a good choice. And I've also been playing XCOM on my Vita. And that is XCOM as hell. It's hard as hell. I have not lost anybody yet. Oh, I probably lost somebody early on, my save, but once I picked it up, I've not lost anybody so far. Yeah, I'm upgrading dudes, going on missions. A couple of countries are mad at me so far, but I'm working to get their panic meters down, all that stuff. It's got the expansion built into it, so I'm getting meld, but I can't do anything with that yet. Yeah, that's a pretty solid thing. And I've also been messing around with the new Xbox update that adds groups, as well as this fast start thing, which I don't even know I have any games that I could access, try that out yet.
I'm not sure if it says which ones you can and can't.
They have a fast start site that lists them. Yeah, it's on the Xbox.com site. Let's see what they have here. Eventually, once it gets here. Okay. Okay, the arcade game series that Namco has. So Pac-Man, Galaga supported. Not Ms. Pac-Man or Dig Dug. NBA 2K18 demo has it.
Yeah.
Pac-Man Championship Edition 2, Magic Duels, Game of Thrones Episode 1, the Telltale thing.
Yeah.
Tales from Borderlands Episode 1, Flame in the Flood, Tropical 5, Rivals of Aether, the Devil May Cry HD Collection. So there's an Xbox 360. No, or is that the new collection?
It's the new one.
Okay. Oh. And Scream Ride. So all bangers, I guess. That's a weird small stuff. I might be able to get Scream Ride on Game Pass, so I might try that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. The groups I've tried, those are just pins.
Yeah.
It's not really folders. They're just, you can have multiple groups of pins.
Yeah.
That are more malleable. And the problem is they're not, I like the way that folders work on PS4, because you have your list of games and you just put them in a folder and that's where it is.
Yeah,
it's one game in a folder. You can only go in one folder. So here you can put multiple games in multiple folders.
Yep.
And it's real hard to keep track of what's in a folder and what's not, because your games list is just your games list. And the groups are in a separate thing. So I'm trying to put, like, here's my games with gold stuff. Here's my PC stuff. Here's Game Pass. Here's EA Access. Here's my big retail game stuff. Here's my digital stuff. Here's my... And I think I have some of that stuff split up between Xbox One and 360 stuff. And trying to figure out which games I own and which I don't is also really hard. They don't list any of that anywhere on the site.
Nope.
You kind of have to go to the games page, and then maybe if it says, like, it's installed versus, you know, buy to own.
Yeah.
That's potentially, but I've mentioned before that I own the crew and the season pass, the version that had the season pass. And I think, like, the first big expansion as well. And it still tells me to buy to own. For the crew, the base game. It's like, no, I own this. I looked it up.
I get the same thing on Forza 7.
Yeah, where it's like you own a specific bundle that they delisted.
Yeah.
And you can look at your, you know, ready-to-install list, and like, it's there.
Yeah.
It's ready to go. But all these layers of potential ownership options just fucks all this up.
Yeah.
So that prompted me to go look on the site to, like, okay, do you have, like, just a purchase history, like receipts for everything I purchased? And kind of. On the Xbox.com site, they have a My Games page, which just shows you all the games attached to your account.
Yeah.
That could be either purchased or games with gold games, but doesn't let you know which is which.
Yeah.
There's no details. It's like, here's everything you can download that isn't attached to EA Access or Game Pass.
Yeah.
So that's not helpful. So I go look at the Microsoft site where my account is, and my purchases, it has purchases, all that stuff. It goes back to 2010.
Yeah.
I have had my Xbox 360 since 2008.
Yeah.
So, like Geometry Wars, I don't have an official record of purchase for that.
Yeah, they're just not displaying it. I know that they do still have it.
Like 2010, those things that are on my account as purchases are purchasing points.
Hmm.
They don't record that you bought a game.
Yeah.
Because that's how Xbox Live Arcade stuff worked.
Worth back then, yeah.
Because you bought the points. What have you spent it on? It doesn't really keep track of that. And it's like, this is real shitty.
Yep.
I want to be able to know what I've owned and what I don't. Now, at least this helps clear some of that, but also it doesn't help at all. And so this has kind of prompted me to want to write up an article of like, hey, here's how Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo are keeping track of your digital purchases now that we're on multiple platforms.
Mm.
And none of them are doing good at all.
No, they're not.
Nintendo especially. You go to their site, it just tells you what they have records of since the Switch launched.
Yeah.
Which is a year ago.
Yeah.
I think if you want specific details, you have to go back to your Wii U or your Wii or your 3DS or your DSi, I think, to see that stuff. It's like, that's real shitty.
Mm-hmm.
But Microsoft also has the same thing. I assume I have to pull up my Xbox 360 and I could probably see specific purchases for that. Though even then, there's like a lot of delisted shit, so there's a lot of like entries on that that just has nothing.
Really?
Yeah. It's just like, error. Like, wait, why is this an error? Why can I not see, like, even if it's like a licensed thing, like, just tell me what this was. Not just, we delisted this, so we can't tell you.
Mm.
Well, that's stupid. And the PS3, Sony has some similar things like that. Though their site has, I guess the account site, has all that, but it goes back to, I think the earliest I could go to is like 2012. So it's pretty weird to try to go through that, but that at least has like itemized, like you spent money on this thing. And this other stuff you didn't. So yeah, now I want to go through all these things and like figure out how you can tell what you own, what you don't, to the extent that they allow you, and sort of why this is all shitty.
Because
I can go to my Amazon account and I can see everything I've purchased. Every stupid thing I've purchased on there since my account started. And pretty much most any like website you can. There are things like the retail sites. Like obviously I didn't have a Best Buy account in the 90s when I bought CDs there or whatever.
Right.
But as far as like the stuff I purchased off this site, that is there. That's sort of one of the disappointing things of us getting this far into these generations, is these guys need to rethink all of this
stuff. Yeah.
Track of our purchase. Because I trust that Microsoft is telling me all the stuff that am I ready to install are things I've actually purchased. They're not forgetting anything, but also I would like that extra layer of knowing for sure what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's completely understandable.
I'm sure they'll get there. Yeah. It's just
I've even gone as far as I have a Google Doc with my purchases that I haven't updated in years. Okay, there's a mountain of shit I got to put on this. I don't know that I want to do that.
Right.
That'll be just days of work. But it's probably worth it.
Mm.
Game collection.
Depends on how valuable your time is, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, like, keeping track of cost.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah,
there really needs to be a site like you know, mint.com or something like that for these gaming sites.
Yeah.
There's a potential business opportunity.
I know there was a site called DVD Spot that was real nice about DVDs and Blu-rays.
Mm-hmm.
But then it got shut down. because I assumed they weren't making any money.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was real nice because you could put all your stuff on there, keep track of it. Now it's like, there are a couple of like collection things, but they're like phone based.
Yeah.
As well as like being based on having like a Mac. It's like, I don't have a Mac.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend $2,000 to be able to keep track of the collection in the most efficient way. Because he was like the QR, not UPC reader stuff that you can do with your phone.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's not real great. So I create a spreadsheet that's
sort that off.
Way more in depth than you need. But yeah, I got. Got it. Yeah. It's only because I know how to do spreadsheet stuff that I can do this.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that level of nerdy skill.
Yeah.
Because I have like separate pages for each platform, and then I pull that number into an overall thing. I do math that's basic math, like add this up. Yeah. This other thing tells me my totals and all that.
Yeah.
It's like 1,200 games here, and I'm pretty sure I've probably doubled that
since
whenever the last time. When is my last version on this?
Years ago.
2014, okay.
Yeah.
Whoa. 4 years, that's not too bad. Or no, that's when they upgraded from the old Google Sheets, so I don't even know beyond that.
Anyways, so let's... we got money that you can spend this week on Octopath Traveler.
Yes.
So I tried to look for what other releases that might be coming out that would be worth looking into, and for next week it's pretty much just Octopath Traveler. So
you won't regret it.
Yeah.
Nope.
Let's see. There's Hotel Transylvania 3. I mean, that's obviously a big one. There's a Shining Resonance Refrain.
Yeah, I'd pick that up. Maybe.
Warhammer Vermintide for Xbox One. Or Vermintide.
And yeah,
Captain Toad. The Captain Toad game is also out this week for Switch and 3DS.
There's a few decent ones, I guess. Next week is a little bit better, so we'll talk about that later.
Sonic Mini.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, but to go along with that, we also have, since we didn't have a show last week, we didn't get to cover the games with gold and PS Plus games for the month. Some pretty good ones this month, actually. PS Plus, you got you got Heavy Rain.
Yeah. Which I love reading the comments because there are people that want to spoil it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you guys are fucking assholes. I think they at least deleted one person's.
Yeah.
And they're saying what the ending is. And it's like, you guys are fucking assholes.
Because
they did this shit when that game launched.
Yeah. Yep.
I think specifically on like Cheap Ass Gamer, someone created a thread in the deals forum, the most popular forum. Like, hey, here's who the killer is. And it's like, oh, fuck you. I at least didn't see that because I had it before. But yeah.
So we got Heavy Rain for PS4. We got Absolver. So there's that MMO fighting thing.
I definitely want to check that out.
Yeah, worth checking out. On PS3, you got Rayman 3 HD, which definitely worth checking out for sure.
Yeah, that's a pretty good game.
Yeah. There's one game which is Struck Through, which makes no sense.
Yeah, I think they pulled that at the last minute.
Yeah.
Had to get a different one.
Yeah, so Extreme Exorcism is going to PS3. Yay.
Also on
PS3.
That's a cross-buy game.
Yeah, PS4. Yeah. Let's see, Space Overlords on the Vita.
Which is also cross-buy. I don't know why they didn't note that, but that's on PS4, PS3, and Vita. So four PS4 games.
Yeah. And Zero Escape, Zero Time Difference, which I think is also... Time Dilemma. Difference? Dilemma, yeah.
That's the newest one.
Yeah.
The third game.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, and they've just added some extra stuff to PS Now that nobody cares about, because nobody has it.
Nope.
So, yeah. Not bad for PSN. It looks like, I don't know, they may be skimping a little bit? I don't know.
I mean, they're continuing their David Cage thing.
Yeah.
After Dreams came out. Or not Dreams.
Detroit.
Detroit. They put up Beyond Two Souls and Heavy Rain, so... be interesting to see what's next month.
Yeah, you can get all of your David Cage stuff for free, it looks like. So,
yep.
And on
which
Xbox
is about how all of it's worth, to be honest.
That's a bit harsh. Yeah,
like Heavy Rain changed adventure games forever.
Yeah, it did. It was also a fluke.
It was a really well made game. And sort of showed adventure developers like, hey, here's a new way to do things. It isn't just the point and click thing. That obviously influenced Telltale a lot, because that's how all of their games have been made since the Jurassic Park series.
Yeah. All right. So, and also going on to the Xbox One, you got Assault Android Cactus.
That's the July 1st game.
Yep.
That one's really good. That's one of the better dual stick shooters out there.
Yeah.
That one screams like Dreamcast to me.
Yeah.
Has that kind of like late 90s era arcade style thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What else we have here? Death Squared, which I've never played before, but
it's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it on the Wii U a lot. eShop going on sale a lot, so
now it's part of Games with Gold, so
yeah.
And then for the 360 games, we got Virtual Fighter V Final Showdown, which shouldn't really need much explanation.
No.
It's the best version of Virtual Fighter V available. So
I like the single player stuff in these games, and this one does not have any of that. Yeah. Like the AI stuff from 4. Like that's not in this version. So when that, I think it's launched on PS Plus as a free game.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried that out. I was like, oh, there's no AI thing, like silly costumes. Well, that's about how long I'm going to play this.
It's weird that they took that out, because that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they went straight for the... I don't know. Did the arcade version have that stuff?
Yeah, the arcade version did, yeah.
Okay.
It's part of the... You get to use your cards and stuff to save all that stuff. Which you can't. So.
Yeah, I remember this being the latest arcade version being brought to consoles.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the kind of thing that I kind of wish they'd do more of, because that arcade mode from VF4 was actually genius.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And obviously, like Killer Instinct pulled some of that stuff into its own thing.
Yeah,
didn't
do it as successfully, I don't think.
Yeah. But, anyway. You know, it'd be real nice if Sega would do, like, a Virtua Fighter collection.
Yeah, I'd rather have Virtua Fighter 6. It's time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been time.
Still.
Maybe they'll just put a couple characters in DOA 6.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. And at this point, I think that license agreement is open, so it's probably one of those things that ends up happening regardless.
Well, this point, I
think DOA is so invested in Virtua Fighter characters that losing that agreement would rip a good chunk out of the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways. And the last game on Games with Gold is Splinter Cell Conviction. Yeah. Okay. It's an okay Splinter Cell game.
Splinter Cell game that made me realize I don't really like Splinter Cell anymore. Because it has some really cool ideas stylistically.
Yeah.
The way they put the words for like what you're supposed to be doing on the environment was really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like the last scene thing where you see like the ghost of where the AI thinks you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really cool. But then I got to a point where I think they were having you use a security camera to find a culprit. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where it just stopped being interesting at all.
Yeah.
There's also the whole thing where the enemies were just fucking cursing at you the whole time.
Mm.
Once you alerted them, it was like, we're going to fucking kill you, Sam Fisher. We're going to cut your head off or whatever. It was like one of those games, like sort of Tomb Raider did that as well.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, their AI is just filthy, I guess, to make sure you know that these guys are bad.
Yeah.
Mm.
Still, it was a fine game. Fine in the sense that it wasn't terrible. It was just average. But
yeah.
So 4 decent games on the Xbox One, a few decent games on the PlayStation 4. Not so bad for a month.
So this is at least better month for Xbox than last month.
Yeah, last month was pretty.
But they gave people, hey, here's DLC for Smite. that counts as a whole game.
For some reason.
Which I think was a valuable thing, because it was like the unlock called like a Heroes thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if you didn't care about Smite, it was
useless.
A weird thing to put in there.
Yep.
Rather than just, hey, here's, in addition to the two Xbox One games, here's also this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like what a lot of Sony does. It's like, here's, you know, PS Plus packs for a lot of free-to-play stuff.
Yeah.
Get you some extra stuff to get you started.
Yeah. So. All right, so should we get into the actual meat of the show?
Yes.
All right. So let's start off with Nintendo and Microsoft. Our buddy still.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a Minecraft 2DS bundle. It's a creeper-themed bundle. They're also doing Animal Crossing and Mario Kart bundles as well. So,
yeah, at least in Japan.
Yeah. I have no
problem. What do they have to put in the Animal Crossing bundle?
I don't know.
Is there one on the 3DS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Leaf.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
The New Leaf, and especially the new version that's got the Amiibo stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about these designs is that they're like 3D designs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a flat surface. Like specifically the creeper has the black parts for his eyes and mouth are recessed below the rest of it.
Yeah.
So it seems like specifically easy for you to like scratch yourself.
Yeah.
If you're trying to pick it up out of your pocket or whatever. Sort of one of the... I was looking at the Zelda bundle they just put out for the 2DS XL. Because I need a new 3DS, and I would like to have that Zelda game back again to play.
Yeah,
because I played that without any sound.
Oh,
and I didn't know the one collectible animal that was in there that they made sounds. Oh. That's how you're supposed to find them. I just used 20 years of knowing how to look for collectibles to find most of them. Like, oh, here's an empty space and a side path. I'm gonna go look down there.
Yeah,
there's one down there. Yeah.
Mm.
And that one has like a Hylian shield on it, and it's like sticks out from the case. It's like, I don't know if I want that. I would rather just have a cool design on it than this like 3D stuff on top of it.
I guess it depends on how much it sticks out, because you know.
Mm-hmm. That was the thing I was trying to find out, how much it stuck out.
Yeah.
And
it's probably not too.
It's
much
just all like the generic pack shots, and I was like, this doesn't help me at all.
No.
It's a 2DS on a white background. Doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah. What I find kind of interesting is that Nintendo is doing a bundle of another company's property.
Yeah.
Which, would Sony ever do that? Hell no. Well, actually, technically they have.
I think they have.
Yeah.
They've done it with Destiny's.
Anytime there's been a Final Fantasy edition.
Yeah, that's true.
Console.
Yeah.
Call of Duty.
Yeah. Call of Duty, that's true.
Yeah, they've done a Minecraft bundle for the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
So,
special design and all that's on it.
So I sound like an idiot right now.
Yep.
Fair enough. I'll fully admit I sound like a complete idiot, but well.
So, I mean, if there's a thing they could put the Minecraft stuff on, they probably did it.
Yeah, because Minecraft seems to have been everywhere. So.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep on trucking along here. We got news that Warframe, the fun free-to-play third-person action game from Digital Extremes, is coming to the Switch. No word yet on when, but the port is being done by Panic Button, who's been making a name for themselves porting stuff to the Switch and doing a rather remarkable job of cramming games that have no business being on the Switch onto the Switch.
And a nice name for a studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got to hit the panic button.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. this basically means that Nintendo is about to make a lot more money.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. So that's
because once you can take the fun of Warframe and put it in something that's semi-portable, that's basically just licensed print. Yeah, that's licensed print money right there.
I don't know how that's going to work well for it, because it's an online game.
Yeah.
So that's... So it's going to be portable around your house or whatever, but
yeah.
I don't know how you're going to do well with it on, like, the bus. Maybe a flight.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Wi-Fi on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really cool game.
Hmm.
Maybe we'll have some more news about what else they announced for it a little bit later.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing to point out is it's also another potential crossplay target.
If
that's something that they end up doing at some point.
I don't know. They haven't done it.
They haven't done it yet, but it's...
I think they had at one point you could transfer progress from PC to console.
Yeah.
Like, very early on when that launched, but other than that, everything's separate. Mm-hmm. You have to start over on every platform.
Yeah, and my best guess is if they ever do crossplay, it's probably going to be preceded by all of the games, you know, being synchronized as far as content goes. They're all going to become, you know, part of one platform. So much like Minecraft did. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. Still, more stuff to play on your Switch. So that's always a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quick note here: Tempest 4000 coming July 17th.
We'll see, because they had a date a few months ago, and then it just disappeared.
Yeah,
no real explanation. Maybe the retail version wasn't ready.
Mm.
I don't know, but then there's also the new Atari thing.
Yeah,
this is releasing on, but this also has been just keeping Jeff Minter from working on other stuff, bringing Polybius to the PC.
Yeah,
like he's like, I can't do this till this is released. Mm. $30, which that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot for an arcade game, I guess. But you know,
but it's also kind of
PS4, so.
Yeah, but it's also a lot for a Tempest game, because like the TXK, the not Tempest but Tempest game, was like 15.
Yeah,
I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you. It's a Jeff Minter Tempest game that will probably, you know, melt your brain. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, it seems like Atari trying to push it. Tempest as this huge thing that means a lot more than it actually does.
Yeah.
Because it's only relevant because of Jeff Minter making Tempest clones.
Mm-hmm.
And he throws all this weird shit in there.
Which is dumb. Okay, so more releases. Shenmue 1 and 2 are releasing on August 21st. Are these going to be one collection or
separate? I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because on PSN, the pre-order is one bundle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to look it up. I think it's on sale too for 10% off. Yep. $26.99, 10% off.
It's actually a pretty decent price for two Shenmue games.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when two is such a hard thing to get.
Oh, yes.
Because Microsoft happened.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst things I saw as far as like buying up exclusivity of game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to get this on the Dreamcast. It's going to come out next year. And it's like, nope, it's on Xbox. Fuck you. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. There will be
no we were never going to get it on Dreamcast anyway.
Yeah, well, Europe did, but we didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's no save transfer to Shenmue 3, which is a very irritating piece of news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're moving heaven and earth to make save transfers from Dreamcast happen.
Yeah.
This is a thing that's actually happening?
This is a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. They're overcomplicating things for themselves, I think.
Yeah.
You've got the remasters coming out. Yeah, that's an easy path because they're going to be on the same platform you're releasing it on. I mean, logic would dictate that would be the way you go, but no.
I would not be surprised if there's some legal red tape here that's preventing them from doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this port was done by Sega versus Shenmue 3 is done by EastNet.
Suzuki's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they're necessarily working together that directly. Since Sega just licensed out Shenmue to EastNet to make their new game.
Mm-hmm.
No, they really should. They really should. Something that they should consider looking at
again. Yeah.
But, you know, given the fact that Shenmue 3 is still a long ways off, maybe this is something that changes in the future.
It's possible.
So.
Honestly, they should just fold YSNet into Sega Studios because Yu Suzuki belongs at Sega still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
So when you all get it, some newcomers finally get a chance to play Shenmue next month. I'm hoping that they've changed, simplified, streamlined the control system. Scheme.
Yeah. They have modern and classic controls.
Good, because...
I'm guessing modern controls is Yakuza.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, probably. Because... God, the original control scheme for Shenmue.
It was bad.
Oh, press L it was, to run forward.
Yeah.
Why is that a thing? Okay.
It was so unbelievably convoluted. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, for the record, the game didn't have, like, only had one. I mean, the Dreamcast controller only had, like, one analog stick, right?
Yep. Yeah. It wasn't a great controller.
No.
Especially when they were entering the world of 3D.
It was basically version 2 of the Saturn 3D controller.
Yeah,
pretty much. But, oh well, I mean...
Yeah, just like Sonic Adventure, use the shoulder buttons for your camera.
Yeah.
What?
But, you know, don't worry, though, because fun thing about Shenmue was always the fact that, you know, you were in a living world and... Pretty much anything and everything that you came across, you could pick up, look at, examine, read, whatever.
Yeah, which is the appeal of the Yakuza games these days, so it's nice that that is still living on. And I fully look forward to the return of the Sailor's meme.
Well, I'm actually kind of wondering if they're relocalizing it.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I don't think so.
I hope they don't.
I think they're even offering
because that corny localization was part of the fun of the original. Yeah.
It wasn't great. Let's be honest. It really was not a good localization.
But, yeah, that's what.
Yeah.
Though that wasn't exactly.
They relocalized. When they did the Dracula X, Konami did for the PSP. They relocalized Symphony of the Night, and that was fantastic. So.
All right. Yeah. It's possible.
Yeah, though people are also still disappointed not to have the miserable pile of secrets monologue there as well.
Yeah.
People like their cheese.
Yeah.
That's true. No, we'll see.
And this game is
I will never understand.
Cheese. Yeah. So. And finally, the listing for Darksiders 3 showed up on the Microsoft Store. It's going to be available in 3 different versions, one of which contains the other 2 games.
Good.
Somebody that THQ hasn't actually officially announced that this game is coming out that date yet, so this is a bit.
I kind of doubt it because they haven't been showing it at all.
No, they actually. I don't think they've actually announced the game at all.
They have.
Well, we've seen like promo art and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they announced it like a year or so ago.
Yeah.
That it wasn't going to be following.
It's a thing.
Yeah. Now, which horseman are you playing in the third one? Because I'm not sure if it's supposed to be famine or pestilence or conquest, as it's actually supposed to be. But
I mean, you've already played 2 of them. So.
Yeah, you played War and Death. So yeah,
you're Fury.
That is not a horseman, but okay.
It is now. In this world, apparently it is. So
I guess that'll be conquest, basically.
And she has,
it's this red-haired chick with a chain weapon. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So, I'm actually looking forward to this. The Darksiders games, I think, are highly underrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Checking out.
And
it's like
much,
Zelda, only more serious.
Yeah, it's Joe Madureira era. So, you know, before his old game company tanked, and he had to go start his next one with the current Battle Chasers RPG, which is really good, by the way. You should try it.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's move on to our other topics. Of the
there's no actual gameplay on... Okay, there's one gameplay shot on their site, the Darksiders 3.
Yeah.
It's all concept art. It's like, okay, this isn't a game that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
Especially coming out in the middle of the holiday season after Red Dead Redemption 2 is like, no, just push it to next May, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
February at the earliest.
February 22nd, that's when it's going to release.
Yeah.
Alongside 4 other big games.
Yeah. So Fortnite did an event. A rocket launched and cracked the sky, because that's apparently a thing that happens in Fortnite.
Yeah, that's pretty normal for Fortnite.
Futurama did this.
Yeah.
That was one of the movies. The sky cracks open.
Yeah.
Bender messes with time too much.
Yeah.
So this was a one-time event. So, That's a it's thing one that of those, is now doing.
Yeah, it's Fortnite has every so often one of those weird special events, ones that they tend to kind of telegraph for a week or so, and then it happens.
Yeah, this is all leading up to the next season starting up, I think, on the 12th, 12th or 13th.
I think so.
Because he sent me an email saying, hey, season's ending, you should play some more. Okay.
You really got to hand it to frickin' Epic Games when they just, at the very last minute of release, decided, hey, let's throw a Battle Royale gimmick in here, and holy crap, it is eating PUBG's lunch. It is not even funny.
Yeah, because they're able to actually iterate in ways that makes the game better.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas PUBG is kind of fucked around. Like, we got to make it the eSports. Wait, people want to play this game that aren't in the eSports? Well, we got a Fortnite map now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fortnite-sized map.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Like, Fortnite is a really good example of what happens when a company just is very quick at doing things, and also they listen to the community that they're trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they're very receptive to what goes on, and I'm getting, there's a general vibe of fun in Fortnite that you just don't see in a lot of,
because PUBG's kind of dull and grim.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what's nice about it, is it's kind of more serious, intense in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw, as part of this whole thing, a player set the record for most kills in a round.
Mm-hmm.
Because they killed all the people that were looking at the rocket.
Yeah.
That had gathered up on one of the mountains to look at a rocket.
And he just, like, started lobbing rockets at them. <It's kind of> jerk. Anyways. Yeah, it's cool stuff. And I don't know what the next event is going to be. There's a giant anchor that showed up for some reason.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think a giant cheeseburger as well.
Yeah, this is a thing that happens in Fortnite, apparently.
Yeah.
I may need to actually play this game, because it looks just completely ridiculous.
Yeah, there's lots of weird shit. There are disco floors you can go dance at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, it's not just regular dancing, either. It's like the Take On Me dance.
Nice.
Well, it depends on what.
And I think they put the what's the dude's quote-unquote chicken dance from Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they got a bunch of
stuff like that.
Yeah, and you can buy dances and all that kind of fun stuff in the shop. So
then you get people like athletes doing Fortnite dances.
Yeah,
when they score goals in soccer or whatever.
Yep.
It's like, all right, this is a thing.
This is
also people playing Fortnite on the big jumbotrons at baseball stadiums.
Yep.
Returning to the Digital Extremes, Warframe is getting an expansion, a pretty substantial one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had their big 10-0 live event this year to sort of celebrate Warframe, as well as talk about what's coming up in the future. So they announced two expansions here. There's Fortuna, which is a new open-world area set on Venus. Yeah, they put out a big trailer for that, showing that off. And it looks really cool. It's a nice, more bluish kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's there right now is kind of more like a big open field.
Mm.
Lots of green and brown. There's more blue and orangish type stuff. So part of this also is the is home of the Solaris United group, which is sort of the new group that you are sort of taking quests from and such here.
Okay.
Buying stuff, crafting items and all that stuff. So they are, it's kind of a snowy area as well. So that's going to be out later this year. They also announced a new expansion that they're calling Codename Railjack. That is, I believe, next year. It's essentially space combat. So there's a big 11 minutes gameplay demo of them showing it off. Hmm. And so you can sort of team up with other players, up to four people. So you can have like ship customization. It's kind of like what's the co-op game I'm trying to think of? The one where you have like a ship It's different parts of it, and you have people meting different parts. It's kind of like
FTL?
What's that?
FTL?
No, it's a co-op game.
Oh,
cool. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I'm trying to think about it.
It's like the big circular ship.
It's like Lovers in Space Time or something like that.
It's like Warframe doing that, but in a big open space combat sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have different parts of the ship that can be manned. You know, there's somebody that's piloting it. There's sort of like in Star Wars, like there's a level down below where you can actually man the guns. They use that to send off a big big payload at the ship, but also your guys can sort of get out to the bay and sort of launch out. And you don't have like ships for that. It's more of the Warframe itself is able to start flying around taking shots. Because there's this whole thing that it has for kind of combat, for like space combat. To, you know, your guns that you take along with you. I could call it archwings, what they say here. And so this whole ship shows off a big mission that's pretty cool. So you have, like, some guys that go off into one of the other ships, take out enemies, opens up vulnerabilities, shields, take them down, all that sort of stuff. There's some moments where you can't progress in the enemy ship until somebody on the original ship has to go and take down their shields.
Yeah.
Like hack into it and all that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of really cool stuff that's going on here. It doesn't seem like it's going to be the like open world kind of thing. It seems more like you're taking on these missions.
Yeah.
That offers some really cool kind of like Star Trek style, like space combat stuff.
Cool.
So there's even the whole notion of, you know, put all your power into weapons before you take that last shot.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Yep.
They also announced two new Warframes during their Art of Warframe panel, which they're calling Codename Revenant and Codename Garuda. But I think those are going to be out later this year. And, yeah, they also announced the Switch version as well during this.
Which we already previously talked about.
Yeah. Oh, did you see the Amazon Prime stuff they're doing? The Twitch Prime stuff? Every day during the month, they're offering new free games for Twitch Prime people.
Oh, geez.
So if you haven't been doing that, you fucked up.
I better be checking the rest of the month.
Yeah, I'm going to look up my desktop app, see what I got. Yeah, there's even some big games as well. I want to say, okay, it's updating. Okay. Oh my god. It's like dialing file 25 of 177. What the hell is this? This is some like 10 years ago internet stuff. Telling you how many files you downloaded.
Yeah.
I guess Twitch site. Let's see what they got currently.
Currently?
Yeah, I always hate this part of the Twitch Prime loot stuff. Because I want to see. No, I don't want the page for the specific game. I want the Twitch Prime stuff. I'll just Google search Twitch Prime because I can't find it on the site.
All you gotta do is click on the little crown icon up at the top. And
that just lists what they've given out there currently.
Mm-hmm.
50% off KOF 14 plus free upgrade.
Yeah, currently they have Urnog Unlimited, Next Up Hero, Goner, Manuel Samuel, Battle Chef Brigade, let's see, Cube 2, and the group of Metal Slug 3, The Last Blade. Is that Last Blade 2 or just Last Blade?
Last Blade.
And Twinkle Star Sprites?
Yeah, it's a shmup.
Yeah. And those are everything but that last three are available for about a week from when they were revealed. And that's just the stuff that's available right now.
Yeah.
The stuff I got as well. Let's see, my games. Yeah, I got, let's see what's here. Pillars of Eternity, Definitive Edition.
Kind of irritated that I missed that.
Yeah, I think Shadow Tactics.
Got copies of that already, so.
Yeah. I forget what else. It doesn't let me look at, like, what's the newest stuff I've gotten. But it's like two of those. I forget what else. But yeah, it's they're doing some crazy stuff because they're leading up to the Amazon Prime Day.
Yeah, whatever it is. Next week.
So. Which usually is disappointing. It's usually not a very good thing.
Well, it's fine if you want to buy Amazon Alexas.
Yeah, if you want to buy like expensive shit.
Not so great.
Especially for games, it's not really
much of a good thing. Great,
but... Oh yeah, Pillars of Eternity was the definitive edition was from the 2nd to the 4th.
Cool.
Cube 2 is to the 9th. Battleship Raids till the 10th. And they got, let's see, Hue, Deponia, Observer, Tacoma, The Bridge, Brutal Legend, Red Strings, Club, Tyranny, and Broken Age are also coming out throughout the month. Up to the 17th, those are starting. So if you have an Amazon Prime account and you want some free stuff, there's some good stuff there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Claim it before it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a Phil.
Yeah. And that's a new meme we just started for the show. Don't be a Phil.
That's our show title.
Yeah.
So moving on, we have Todd Howard, who was, talking about why Fallout 76 is not going to have cross-network play, and just flat-out calls Sony out.
Yep. Basically saying, Sony, you're not being as helpful as you probably should be, which is developer speak for go suck a bag of dicks, Sony.
this is not a good look for Sony.
No.
Yeah. This is weird to see, because like, wait, crossplay? When was that ever a thing for that game?
Well, it wasn't. It's just that now it's in the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People are starting to want it. I'm not entirely sure how long Sony's stance on crossplay is going to actually be able to survive, to be honest.
Mm.
But, yeah. It's like, is this the sword you want to die on, Sony? It's not a good look when one of your big partners who's going to have probably one of the biggest games of the year is flat out calling you out on being douchebags.
And they're still going to go to the mat for it.
Mm-hmm. They probably will, but this Sony has basically had their lunch eaten by Microsoft in one generation, and now they're on top and they're repeating all the same mistakes.
Yeah.
And making a whole bunch of new ones. So, yeah, this is a great, 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 great stuff. So if you want to play Fallout 76, maybe the PS4 is not the version you want to get. Just saying.
Possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, for their games, it's always PC.
Yeah.
That's where the modding is going to be there in full force.
And let's be honest, it's also the version that tends to run the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, with Bethesda game studio games, those aren't... Yeah. Their console versions are always suspect.
Yeah. In other news, Amy Hennig is starting up her own studio.
Basically EA screwed her over, and now she's sort of struck out on her own.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's trying to be all diplomatic about it, but it really comes down to the fact that EA are, they're EA.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying her game was too linear.
Considering you bring on the creator of Uncharted and call... It's like, that's what she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I think somebody... Yeah, and then somebody brought up, you said, no, they brought her on so they could show the appeal of Uncharted. What they actually wanted to do was rope action-adventure game players into something that can be monetized.
Yeah. It's like, every year at E3, we kind of think that EA maybe has turned over a new leaf, and then we realize, no.
Yeah.
That's just not happening.
Well, I mean, this is the basically the same game that was eventually canceled.
Yeah.
So,
weird thing is this all came out as like, people just found out this game was canceled when it was done, January?
Yeah, it was something Visceral. Like this was, the game went over to Visceral. And we know what happened to them, so...
Yeah, they got shit canned, so...
And part of this now is just like, I haven't been in EA since January.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, why are you people not knowing about this?
She hasn't been able to talk about it. Well, yeah, it's gotten around to it. But anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, she's got her new studio she's setting up, working with. She's going to have like a small group, like 6 to 8, maybe up to like 15 people at most.
Mm-hmm.
She says to do some more projects, do some VR stuff. She's consulting with the VR companies and doing a ton of research. She hasn't played a lot of it to check it out herself. So she's kind of in the early stages of setting up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's going to be nice to have something coming out from her, because she has not had anything this whole generation.
Nope.
Yeah.
Which is the saddest part.
Yeah, because we probably would have had something if EA hadn't decided to...
be EA.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was a snafu between Guild Wars developers and ArenaNet. What's going on here?
Oh, yeah. So apparently... okay, so one of the big developers was on the developer chat, and she was talking about how, there was a discussion on, is there an issue, how do you create compelling characters in an MMORPG? Compelling, well-rounded characters. And one person came with a three-part tweet, and they said that, well, maybe the issue is just that the whole, what the quote-unquote living story, the MMORPGs, might just be one of the big limitations to the idea of a well-rounded character. And then said developer basically snapped. Really the only way you can describe it. Yeah. Because it suddenly was just so aggressive.
Yeah.
But I think Chris can explain it better.
Yeah, it's kind of when developers talk about the challenges of the work they do on, you know, Twitter and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
people always come back with their, yeah, why don't you just do this? Like, the armchair developer thing.
Yeah.
And devs do not like essentially being, like, either mansplained or fansplained, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, but at the same time, the reaction was just...
yeah.
Wow.
this might have been a little over the top.
Yeah.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah. Yeah, but also, sometimes these people get enough, you know, shit that...
yeah, I'm thinking of, like, what happened to Adam Orth.
Yeah.
You know, she had that one bad day.
Yeah. And at the point, Reddit picked up on this stuff.
Because, of course, they did.
Basically saying, oh, she needs to be fired, or there needs to be punishment here for talking back to a fan. And ArenaNet, I guess, decided to listen to the anger mob and fired her and another developer that was supporting her and mm-hmm. sort of backing her up on this stuff. And it's like, that's not great.
No, it isn't.
Because it essentially says you value the opinions of the angry Reddit mob more than just finding some common ground.
Just and this is just me. Generally, you're better off ignoring Reddit altogether. Just
yeah, at least put what they say through a few filters first.
Yeah,
filter out anything that has cursing in it. Filter out anything that's sexist or racist.
If the term social justice warrior or SJW comes out, you can pretty much just delete
feminazi. All that stuff, you can throw that stuff out and then see what the rest has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's...
usually you probably don't have very much left in there.
No.
Yeah. This is not great. It's, ArenaNet has had issues in the past with this sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I guess I shouldn't be too awful surprised that they would decide this way, but it's still ugly.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And it just shows how much you stand by your developers that you're paying to make your games.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how the WildStar developers are feeling these days. Anyway.
Mm.
So, let's see what we have here. Oh yeah, Steam Spy. Apparently Valve is working on internal tools that will kind of bring that functionality back. This is good, because, it is nice for developers to know how much they've actually sold.
Especially to have market numbers as well. You'll see, like, we're looking at making this sort of game. How well have these others done?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to see it broken down a little bit more in the sense that I don't want to see also not just copies of the game that exist, but how those break down in terms of what are purchases and what were keys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would tell you a lot about what's going on with games.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, who's putting out games that are good enough that you buy outright versus getting off of, you know, potentially shady sites.
Mm-hmm. And it would also show you which games are bot farmer fodder and what games aren't.
So. Yeah, especially if they could have like sources for where these come from. I don't know if there's any way of actually doing that because those codes could really go anywhere. Yeah. There are people that just buy up from, you know, Humble Bundle sales to sell for, you know, a little bit more and skim some money off the top or whatever. But yeah, because like Humble Bundle, Fanatical, like those sort of sites are all legit and cool.
Yeah.
But then you get to, you know, some of the others, and it's like, we don't know if this is where this code technically came from.
G2A, and because there's a few others that are kind of questionable. So
yeah,
we'll see.
But yeah. Did you see the weird thing that happens over the past couple of days? It was Tyler Glail, who did Closure, worked on. I forgot the Edmund McMillan game, most recent one. But yeah, I think he was part of the people that figured out, you know, with the new privacy stuff, you couldn't figure out through the API stuff how many people actually owned a game.
Right.
They came up with a new way of potentially figuring this stuff out, which is going through the achievements.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially clever. Pulling numbers through how many people have earned at least one achievement with the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which isn't accurate as far as purchases, but as far as at least people using the game, at least for the 5 minutes it might take to earn the first achievement, that was really interesting to see some numbers, because I think it was TF2 was the number one, had like 50 million copies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is crazy, but that game also has hundreds of achievements at this point.
Yeah.
But through those limitations, it means like Dota 2 didn't show up on this list.
No.
Because it doesn't have any.
Yeah.
I also saw people like, where's Fortnite? It's like, Fortnite isn't on Steam, you idiots. Just because a game exists on the PC doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's like no Blizzard either, obviously.
Yeah, because that's all Battle.net.
Valve
needs to do this. I mean, they took away a feature that a lot of people were using, and basically,
and for legit reasons of privacy concerns, people exploiting the account stuff, especially to try to trick people into logging into nefarious places to find out more about their, like what their stuff is worth and all that, potentially for trading purposes. Like they could lose their accounts easily with that stuff because they find out through the API, like, oh, they have some rare, you know, TF2 item or Dota 2 item or whatever that is worth, you know, hundreds of dollars. We got to try and steal their account, fish them, that sort of stuff. Yeah. It's like, yeah, maybe don't show that stuff by default.
Yeah.
Which, have you seen the new Steam, like, hey, here's how much you've paid for your games thing?
No, this is a stat I don't want to know.
Because it's it's actually accurate, unlike the one you probably used before, which just goes off of what the current MSRP is.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if it was real or not, like the actual amount, because it seemed like I was spending like $30 per game.
Hmm.
It's like, I don't think I've done that. I don't know if it's just like me buying like Pinball Arcade or Pinball FX stuff when it's on sale, like inflates things.
Maybe.
But I don't remember spending that much money on most of these games. Because I buy a lot of stuff when it's sub $10.
Yeah.
But maybe the
Steam is so insidious.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's like $2,000 for like 700 games. I don't know. There's a lot of free bullshit on here, especially the code stuff. Yeah. So like the code stuff you get from like Humble and whatnot, that stuff doesn't count, obviously.
Yeah.
Because it just registers as a free purchase.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
There's lots of weird shit with Steam.
Oh, do I know it?
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to another weird legal story. We've kind of talked about this before. PUBG Corp was suing Epic Games over alleged copyright infringement. They've dropped that suit because they don't say why.
We can guess.
All right. Well, my first guess would be the fact that, apparently PUBG Corp's legal counsel doesn't quite know what copyright infringement is. That would be one guess. But there's actually a little bit more here that I didn't realize, and that both Epic and PUBG Corp are partially owned by Tencent.
Yeah.
So my guess is somebody at Tencent was like, would you two knock it off?
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, because I don't think they have controlling interest in either company.
They don't, but...
So, I mean, either way, they're fucking winning.
Yeah. Because
they're getting all the money from... Or they're getting a good chunk of the money from Fortnite and PUBG. It's like, haha, keep fighting, you idiots. We're making all the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it seems like the suit just got either dismissed or settled.
Yeah, I don't know which yet, but...
Yeah. I assume they probably came to some sort of agreement.
Yeah.
Because the entire idea of the suit was real stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you stole your idea from a Japanese movie.
Yep.
You don't get to claim copyright when your copyright goes with Sony, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Made the Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for the record, they really did copy everything from Battle Royale. Even the whole border thing is directly from Battle Royale, where, like, the player playing field gets shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
I mean, not shorter, but, like, smaller
not
and smaller.
Way, but...
No, because in Battle Royale, it was like they...
It was a grid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you're still in this grid, your head thing is going to explode.
Yeah, and about, I think, I forgot what, like, the time limit they gave them, but...
It was, like, every 3 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm glad that it got settled. Whatever happened, happened. Now, maybe, I don't know, PUBG will do something like, I don't know, invest in original art assets?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, maybe consider releasing more than one map every 6 months.
Yeah.
That'd be a thing that they could probably consider. I don't know, make a better game. That's my thought.
Yeah.
It's irritating because the potential for PUBG to be a really good game is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being handled by morons.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Who got famous and popular too early.
Yeah, they got kind of blindsided by it.
Yeah.
The immense amount of people that were playing it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Is a lot for a small team like that to handle while they're trying to grow to be able to accommodate that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now they're finally starting to get to the point where they can put out stuff more regularly.
Yeah.
But now they're also just doing what Fortnite does. Mm-hmm. Just like they just started a battle pass thing.
Mm.
Like dances. They put out the smaller map. That sort of stuff.
Who?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways.
But I think it's also their audience wants that stuff as well.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I can do that in the Fortnite. I want to do that here. I want to dance.
Yeah. Get jiggy with yourself.
Yep.
Anyway. PUBG. That's what they should rename the game to.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So we got some announcements from Spike Chunsoft. They've got four more games coming. These announcements came out of Anime Expo.
Yep. I guess their first time being an anime expo, which is a weird thing to realize because they've made anime as hell games for a while. But I guess Anime Expo, I heard Giant Bomb talking about Anime Expo because it takes place in the LA Coliseum, like the convention center where E3 is. So they were like very weirded out by going back in there and it not being E3.
Yeah.
Like the notion of the West Hall actually still has video games in it, but it's like Left 4 Dead 2 and Dirt 4 and, you know, Smash and Dragon Ball FighterZ, where it's like, okay, those two are, you expect that, but Dirt 4, Left 4 Dead 2,
that's
like games that have been out for years you could go play, but people are apparently like at all the kiosks playing the games, even if they're old as hell. I guess people are like, oh, I like Left 4 Dead 2, I'm going to play some Left 4 Dead 2. You're paying hundreds of dollars to go play Left 4 Dead 2 in LA. You're going to save that money and do it at home. But so Spike announced four new games. There's AI, the Somnium Files, which is from the, I think, the Zero Time Dilemma people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The same director for that. Or no, Zero Escape. So the Nine Doors, Nine Persons, whatever that name is, those three games. Yeah, Virtue's Last Reward and all that. Zero Time Dilemma. Yeah, it's the third one.
Okay,
so this is a new one. There's a trailer there. Also working on this game as the lead character designer is Yusuke Kozaki. Fire Emblem Awakening, No More Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some interesting art talent there as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is at least on the PS4, I assume PC as well.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, Windows, Switch, and PS4. This is specifically a PlayStation blog post, so they only mention the PS4 version. Next one is Yuno, Yu-NO, which I guess is a remake of the original 98's PC Sega Saturn game, which I don't know much about, but it's the first time it's coming to the West.
Mm.
Okay, of course it brings up memes when I try to search this game's name. Let's see. Okay, yes, Saturn.
Is it memes?
Yeah, no. Published by Elf Corporation as an adult game for the PC 98.
What game? What was the game called again?
A girl.
You know a girl who jogged the world of the world. Yeah, I've got that on PC. Yeah. It's actually pretty good. It's legitimately a really good adventure game.
Yeah, let's see. All versions are rated 18+, although explicit sex scenes were removed from the Saturn Windows editions.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a hentai anime, OVA, as well as manga and several novels related released. Okay, so that's
the game.
So that's coming to the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
I assume sans sex.
Probably.
There's a new Steins Gate game coming out, Steins Gate Elite. The first screenshot I hear is a picture of a superhero llama, so I'm on board with this, whatever it is. it's coming out the PS4 in 2019. All PS4 copies will include Steins Gate Linear Bounded Phenogram.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. Oh, lists the wiki, links to wiki page, okay. A visual novel video game for the PS3, Xbox 360, and Vita. In iOS. Okay, so that's cool. They're adding another thing in there for people that buy it. And the fourth game is 428 Shibuya Scramble.
Yep.
That's coming out
Of only a handful of games Famitsu has ever given a perfect score to.
And never released in the West before, but they got a trailer there. Let's see. Between Mr. Mean Clean, the mascot on Achi's shirt, and Tama, there's something in the game for everyone. See an UFO table anime follow-up, Kanan. So I guess
it's basically what it is it's a visual novel with a full motion video. So
yeah. Originally published by Sega on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's some anime as hell games.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, if you were worried about them publishing the wrestling game and Pixar Don't Monsters 2, it's like, no, they got the anime for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the visual novels.
Yep.
Yeah. And finally, we just learned that DOA 6 is going to be in playable form at EVO 2018 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Next month. Yeah, I have I'm thrilled about this because, DOA has been, they've been really trying and failing at getting some kind of credibility going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which legitimately DOA legitimately has always been a really good fighting game. It's just that it gets overshadowed by, shall we say, other
elements
of the game. Right.
$600.
I don't know if I'd say always, but probably right around Ultimate 2 and DOA 4 was when it started getting some actual credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 was actually quite good, except for the whole monetization practices of that game.
Yeah, like $600 worth of DLC.
Yeah. That was a bit much, I thought, personally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, $50 for two characters? Wait, what?
Exactly.
$90 for a bunch of costumes?
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, hopefully they don't do that as far as the new version goes, and next month we'll certainly see what people in the FGC have to say about it.
For the record, we've not say if we've mentioned this yet, but as far as like Dead or Alive 6 goes, Team Ninja has been doing their best to emphasize that they're trying to downplay the edgy elements that DOA is kind of infamous for. Which, as Phil said earlier, kind of one or two games too late.
Yeah, I mean, they needed to start this, like Patrick said, they needed to start this with DOA 5. But DOA 5 also went whole hog into that, what they called fighting entertainment. And, yeah, that didn't work so well, I don't think. We got a good slate of games over at, that are going to be at EVO. I mean, DOA 6, I'm sure Soul Calibur 6 is also going to be there on the floor. Someplace. Whatever Capcom decides to throw in there for surprising. They're usually there. The games that were announced and going to be played, so it should be a good tournament overall.
Yeah. Also, DOA 6 will be coming out for PC, so even if the regular version is, not sufficiently edgy, the modders will come in and fix that right up. So.
Yeah. That's what modders do. So there's always like the first thing that happens on a game is always a nude patch.
Yep.
So, there you go.
Even for games that really don't need it.
Yeah. Don't starve, nude patch. That's not a thing, but it probably would be.
Rule 34, it probably is.
It's definitely a thing on Minecraft.
I don't know why, but okay. All right, so anything else that we want to say before we wrap up?
We got our picks of the week, though, so.
Okay, so I'll start us off with my pick of the week, which is a YouTube channel that I discovered recently called Budget Builds. Mm-hmm. And what he likes to do is set himself a really stupid budget and try to build a complete computer in that budget. One of his projects was, can you build a computer for 25 cents? Turns out you can. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there with various budgets and build-offs and fun stuff like that. He also goes back and does some historical pieces on whether on certain graphics cards. And, it's whether a particular graphics card is worth still having today. If it'll do you. Because, a lot of these high-end cards from a few years ago you can pick up cheap now. And if they're still pretty good, well, maybe they're good buy. Mm-hmm. So it's worth checking out. He's got a fun channel, and I highly suggest you go over there and give those videos a watch.
Unless you have a laptop, in which case you're just SOL.
Yeah, well, he's got some laptop-related videos there, too, so, so check them out. So what about you, Brandon?
My pick of the week is, pretty obvious. It's the Octopath demo, because since the game comes out Friday, anyone who hasn't had a chance to get a little taste of it just yet really needs to get a small bit of it, just to experience the quality that's going to be coming with this game. We're going to be getting some amazing voice acting, some great writing, some unexpectedly deep drama that you normally wouldn't expect from this type of game.
Right.
And also just get a load of just the really unique art style they're going for here. That whole 2.5D aesthetic just really works.
Yes.
Yeah.
So also one of the things that's fun is you'll find out that the game is a little more open-ended than you would expect. There are different ways to go about certain objectives that you have to do. So that's what I recommend. So, Chris?
So there is a huge mid-year sale on the PSN, and there's a ton of shit on there. I think the count they have here is 869 items.
Oh, wow.
Which is a lot. Put in perspective, all the games they list as in their PS4 section is 2,800. So this is about a third of that. Doesn't mean there's actually a third of PS4 games, but
no.
The scale of the sale is huge. And it's a little bit inflated with DLC and, like, you know, different bundles and shit, but otherwise there's a ton of shit here. Like, Onrush is $36 with PS Plus. That just launched a month ago.
Jeez.
But I've heard really good things about that. From what I've played of it and seen, it's racing Overwatch.
Okay.
It's a 6v6 multiplayer game with cars. But you also get, you know, the loot crates with cosmetics, dances, titles, all that sort of stuff that you get in Overwatch. It's like, okay, this is a weird thing. But yeah, there's a lot of shit in here people should really check out. Let's see, there's Pinball FX 3 DLC that's on sale, so I'm probably going to pick that up. The Last Jedi table. I think there's a few others as well, like a set of Corsa is on sale. And weirdly enough, it's not priced well. The bundle, the Ultimate Bundle, that I assume has all the Season Pass stuff in it, is like $22. The base game is, I think, $12, and the Season Pass is $6. If you do your math, that's like...
That's 18.
Yeah, that's a little bit short. Yeah, Owlboy's on sale here for $15.
Yeah, that's definitely worth playing.
Yeah, I almost bought it on the Switch for $17.49. So I was like, all right, maybe I'll get this one.
There's a whole bunch of PS2 stuff on sale if you want to stock up on those.
Yeah, I picked up the Rick and Morty Virtual Regality game for PSVR. I have not had a chance to play yet. But the weird thing about that is that's obviously related to Job Simulator, since the same devs. Same kind of ideas. Job Simulator hasn't really been on sale ever on PSN.
Nope.
And that's a game they own. And it's like, I own that because I bought the physical version on sale. And I don't really want the physical version. But it was the only way I could get it on sale.
Yeah.
I think the Crytek, like, dinosaur PSVR game also has not been on sale. And it's like $40 at least. It's like, I'm not paying $40 for that. I'm definitely not getting the physical version. A lot of weird shit like that, but Far Cry 5 is $42. If you missed that, all the Final Fantasy stuff is on sale. I've seen some good prices on that. Titan Quest is $21. Burnout Paradise is $24. The 25th Ward, the Silver Case, is on sale, $18. Yeah, there's a lot of shit. I'm not gonna go through it all here, because it would take me, it'd be like an hour of just that. We could just do a second show, like, let's look through the list.
And that doesn't include all the movies and TV show packs that are also on sale at this point as well. So
Faye is $10, I can see here. Like a lot of Rainbow Six Siege stuff. A lot of good stuff here. And also, I think, let's see. Yeah, if you have your Sony Rewards account attached to your PSN account, you get a bunch of extra points for that. They got 3x points for regular members, 5x for PS Plus. So I'm almost up to 10 points, $10 worth on that. You see they put Microsoft Rewards on Xbox One? They put that app on there.
They finally
can't really do much with it.
Yeah, it just kind of shows you your points.
And it's like,
about it.
Ace, look at the World Cup on the Edge browser on there. It's like for 5 points. And it's like, okay, this, you know, if I ever want to use the Edge browser on there, it's going to have like 500 tabs because I don't know how to close them. I actually tried to browse the search stuff like you would on the PC for that stuff. It doesn't work, or it doesn't count. It works, but then I want to back out and I hit B because that's how I back out every other time. It's just back on the browser. Just going back through all the other searches I was looking at. And it's like, this is terrible. Like, either give me some points for looking at the shitty browser on the Xbox One, or just fuck off with this thing, because it's not serving any purpose, really. It's just because they got rid of Xbox Live Rewards and merged it into Microsoft Rewards. And so now you go on there and it's like, hey, buy, you know, this game for, and you'll get, you know, this amount of points. And it's like, okay.
Mm.
And it's like, buy Minecraft. I'm like, I already have it. Well, mm-hmm. fuck you. You don't get any points. Like, I'll screw you. Because before they had a lot of like program type stuff, like, hey, buy, you know, spend $50 on these sorts of games and then earn achievements in those games and then buy Avatar stuff and you get all the points that this promotion has. And that was real bad. This just seems like a different kind of bad.
Yeah.
I just like what Sony and Nintendo are doing. It's just, you spend the money, you get the points, and after a while you can spend the points on the games.
Yep.
It's like real simple stuff.
Yeah.
Microsoft wants to engage you in ridiculous things instead of just, hey, just buy the things.
Yeah.
Which you also get points for that, but I never really see anything like, hey, if you buy stuff in this sale, you get 3x points or anything like that. I don't know if they ever actually do that, but I don't know.
I don't think they ever surface that.
Yeah.
They might do it, but I don't think they ever mention it.
Yeah. That's the other problem. It's like, it all lives on the site.
Yeah.
And that's separate from the Xbox site, which is separate from the marketplace. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
They need to just make it all one site.
Would be nice.
Yeah.
There's still the, you still can't use credit on Xbox 360 stuff on Xbox One.
Nope.
You have to go pull out your Xbox 360 to do it.
You're stuck, it's stuck there.
Yeah. It's like, we haven't figured this out. They don't even show prices for Xbox 360 stuff on the dashboard.
No.
It's like when you go to the like Amazon, it's like, add your cart to find out the sale price.
Yep.
It's like, no, I'm just going to forget you altogether. Mm-hmm. I don't need that.
And it's really irritating when they do that, because it's like, you add, to wait, the way you see your price is you add it to your cart and it opens up a mini Edge browser. In the browser.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah, and it brings up that like pop-up of like, hey, do you want to purchase this or do you want to cancel this?
Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't also help when you're buying like the native stuff for Xbox One. It's just like, oh, this is $14.99 plus tax. Like, well, what's tax? Tell me the price I'm paying. Because I had like $17 and some change for credit. And this is like $15 plus tax. Like, this could easily go over. I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't saying you're going to need your card as well plus the credit. It's like, well, maybe that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Anyways. So, yeah, that's going to be pretty much it for this week.
Go buy shit.
Yeah, go buy some stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. Yeah, just avoid the Edge browser if at all possible.
Cause, yeah.
Yeah, that's just bad. So next week, I just wanted to remind you guys that we will have Castlevania Ryan on the show. We're going to talk retro and modern and how you smash the two together.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that's happening these days. So,
you're going to find how old we really are.
Yes, we are old. It should be a fun show. Either that, well, I'll just wear my Depends, I guess. But TMI, perhaps. Anyways. Remind you that if you have not subscribed to the show, and I completely understand if you would want to, you can do so on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast aggregator of choice. You can also check us out at smashpad.com. Dan Reb's review of Lumines Live went up recently, so check that out. It's a good game. It's Lumines. You can now buy that on the PS4.
Also, let us know if you're listening to the show and not subscribing. Because I wonder how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you go to the website every single week to listen to the show? Because that would be some dedication right there, folks. So with that, I am Fleetwood and Alpha.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And see you next week.